It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with the Phoenix, Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, FreedomsPhoenix.com. Now, what we're going to do today is the first hour, I'm going to have, I can convince him to sit in for the second hour, too, Pal Gamel, senior editor of Freedoms Phoenix. There's a lot of things I want to talk about on the site and some of the things that we're covering and things that we're doing and things we got to deal with on this end. And in the second hour, I have Gada Talhami and Amin Mahood for the first half hour is Gada and then Amin in the second half hour. Now, Amin is with the Alliance of Egyptian Americans, you know, and I really want to talk to these guys because of the context that they have and a perspective they give. Gada, there's a reason public opinion in the Arab world isn't pro-American. Now, they're the emeritus professor in the Department of Politics at Lake Forest College, and she wrote a book on Muslim women. But this is the question that I have: do they even have a concept of self-ownership? The Arabic world, anywhere? We went through this in the early 90s when we were talking a lot about gun control and so on here. Japan was one of the big buyers of our debt back then, into the 80s, early 90s, and so on. And when Daddy Bush got reelected on the promise of no new taxes, then raised taxes, it was in response to shoring up our debt status with these foreign countries that go, look, man, you're having deficits every year, you're not raising taxes, you're increasing spending, and you want us to give you money? No. So they increased taxes, which, you know, sent the people into fits, and all of a sudden, then we start hearing more about gun control and so on, and I come to find out about a decade later in a lot of the writings and how the media was portrayed in Korea and in Japan at the time, and in what was West Germany, they were more concerned about an uprising of the American people. And this was really more of a PSYOP kind of thing. So I'm going, okay. I see what's going on. And when Japanese television came and interviewed me one time, we were doing Unrestricted Concealed Carry Initiative, and Arizona was in the spotlight again. And they wanted to talk to me, and it was kind of like their 60 Minutes version. And I'm like, you know, fortunately, having studied a little bit about Japanese culture, read some novels, historical novels and such, I got the idea that they are more about the collective. They're more about serving of the ancestors, emperor, you be part of the La Machine. Well, I'm going, in the Arabic world, I have to understand, because I don't know. I'm trying to understand individual freedoms, rights. Does that even enter into their culture? And at what point is there a base? I'm sure it has a lot to do with Islam, and there has to be something in there. In fact, it's the New Testament that made it very clear that Christ was a rebel, the rebel Jesus, and he was against the collective that was controlling the people. I have come to fulfill the law, not to be a bunch of Jewish lawyers, okay? So what he did is he says, you know, I'm going to use witness and parable and testimony and voluntary persuasion by example to get people to do what I would prefer, you know, get on the path, the way to the light and whatever you want to call it. That's part of Western culture. Mideastern culture is based on what? I don't know. I need to know. But I suspect that an infection of freedom, an infection of the concept of you own yourself, I don't care how you're brought up, you're 14 years old and you get the exposed to the idea that, hey, I get to be boss of me, you know, oh man, you're causing some teenager problems then. For the good or the bad? As opposed to what? I get accused a lot on this show of being called an anarchist. Oh, you're just an anarchist. Compared to what? What we got now? I'm not sure that's, you know, not anarchy. I mean, there's no rule of law or anything. You know, they just do what they want to do and they got the bigger gun. So when I look at the Middle East and I look at these teenagers and people in their 20s that are inheriting this problem, and I just want to make sure that they understand that they're exposed to the concept that they don't have to be slaves. They can, you know, be a slave to themselves. You know what? I tell me to go do whatever when I tell them to do it. Because if you're not in charge of you, then who is? So this is the concept that I want to make an attempt to expose these young people all over the Middle East. And Cairo is a perfect place because it is the hub of the pop culture of the entire Arabic world. You get something started in Cairo, everybody knows about it. Whether they agree with it or not, it's not even the point. Right now, we're working on the Arabic translation of The Philosophy of Liberty, a flash animation. They're in the process of doing that now. But in the process of this, you know, I just saw an independent report and various things. You know, I have Google alerts on my name and Freedom's Phoenix and stuff like that. So I get start seeing a lot of stuff that's in reference to us doing this project. Now, they're trying to marry me with Mark Hinkle from the Libertarian Party and Mary Ruart from ISIL, International Society for Individual Liberty. Fine, you know, give me stuff, give me something. You know, I need an address. You know, give me some libertarian contacts in the Middle East. You know, show me, what? I can't get anything. Now, ISIL is putting together the, working with Ken School in that of Hawaii, dealing with a guy in Moscow that's putting this together now. So I'm flabbergasted at how inept the libertarian, not the movement. The movement's kicking butt. I'm getting a lot of stuff from people. And we'll go to Pal here in a little bit. He had some ideas already been sending me stuff. I'll tell you, Pal Gamble, senior editor of Freedom's Phoenix, did more in 10 minutes sending me than all of these organizations have in a week.
That's bad news, man.
You know, So one of the other things that you came up, Sierra's working on it right now. I mean, we're just boom, boom. You got an idea. It's a good idea. Okay, so do it. Well, we need to have a committee meeting or something. So what happened was, is you talked to me about some resources available from Cato. Tell me about that.
Cato Institute has their little brochure. You see all the politicians pull out whenever they want to talk about the Constitution. You know, that solemn document, they reach in their jacket pocket and say, see, I support the Constitution. And they wave that little brown booklet, reddish brown booklet around.
Never read it, but
exactly. But anyway, they're proud to carry that around, and they have it's a pristine. There's not a fold crease in that whole thing. It's never
no
been
dog ears or nothing.
So, any rate, Cato actually has translated that into two different languages. One is Spanish, that you might expect. And the other is Arabic. Roger Pilon translated that booklet into Arabic several years ago. And I'm a bit dismayed that it doesn't appear to be available online. You have to basically buy a $6 copy.
Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights, all three?
Yeah, all three.
In Arabic, now.
In Arabic, now.
I want it. When we come back from the break, we're calling Cato right now. We'll see what we can get for you. You guys hold on. I'll let you know.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Turn on the tube. Well, I see a whole lot of people crying. Don't blame me, but point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this, victim of that. Your mama's too thin and your daddy too fat. Get over it.
Yeah, get over it. You know, my wife Donna, she was saying, how come they're using the same, you know, songs over and over and all the different segment kind of stuff? And I go, because, you know, I don't have control of the music anymore. And she goes, why? Well, because, you know, so I guess we could do the intro, Charles intro and so on. And I can start doing the music again. But that's like work. You know, you guys got to be ready, though, because I make mistakes that way a lot of times. But I think we're going to take over control of some of the music. Sierra and I will work on getting some new files over to LRN so that we can do the intro music. Because a lot of times the music kind of puts forth the idea, you know, of what I'm, you know, it's kind of like having a graphic on Freedom's Phoenix. Blah, 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 communist, blah, 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 Bernanke, fascist, blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, pal always picks a good picture. You know, now let's go ahead. Now, sometimes you may see when I make a mistake on the, you know, the mouse goes down to the bottom right on my screen, this picture will come up. This is my screensaver. That's my daughter, Rhea, the taller one on the left, and then Sierra's on the right. And this was wedding day, right? So this is the wedding day. So when we're talking to Sierra, we can look at my beautiful daughters. And I have beautiful sons too, man. You know, but yeah, I'm really proud of them. They're smart kids. Now, Sierra just called Cato. Give us, you know, with the information that Pal gave you, what'd you find out?
I was transferred to a Eleanor O'Connor, O'Connor. And basically, it just went to her voicemail. I did it twice, and I just asked her for the Roger Pylon's translation of the Declaration of Independence into Arabic, and I left her two messages, and I just left her my number, so I'm just waiting for a call back.
Okay, as soon as you get a call back, I need to see if she'll come online, too. You know, boom. I want, even if I have the other people from Egypt on, you know, I want to talk about this. You know, this is, you know, Cato, and I'm like, and they're not, you know, airlifting C-130s of these over there right now. I need to know why. So thanks, baby. You know, this is the reason why this is important. Cato has right now, Roger Pylon is vice president for legal affairs. And he's, you know, there's a Kenneth Simon chair, he's the chairman of this constitutional studies and director of the Center for Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute. So he holds a couple of positions. No, he's a big, you know, attorney guy. All right. Now he, I guess, I don't know if he speaks Arabic or not, but he's responsible for having this. Now take a look at this. And those of you online, you can see this. It's a green book in Arabic, you know, so like, you know, people walking around with their constitutions and Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, they have done it to where in facing pages, you have on one side, it's Arabic, on the other side, it's in English. Cool. I will suffer the slings and arrows of the Constitution in there, you know, to get the Bill of Rights and Declaration of Independence. Because, you know, I just, you know, I tell you what I see a book like this. You got the Declaration of Independence, you got the Bill of Rights. It's a bologna sandwich with the bologna in the middle. Because
I usually call it rancid meat with a tasty bread, so sandwich with rancid meat in the middle.
You know, think about it, pal. I mean, if we had the Constitution, you know, the way it's structured, you got, you know, the president, and you got the, you know, whatever the heck, the houses and so on. And judiciary, and you show that to Egyptians, what do you think they're going to think?
They're going to say, what the hell is this? You guys aren't living under a constitution.
And they can see...
And they can see this is what they're trying to give them, you know, our supposed Western democracy we're trying to promote, which is like, you know, it's garbage. Voting, you know, oh, you'll get to vote. It's like, yeah, we get to vote for either Barack Obama or John McCain. There's a choice.
You know, the one thing I think is interesting is if I was a young man in Egypt, and I saw this, I would immediately be putting names into those categories that I knew would wind up there. Who's going to be president? It's going to be Mubarak and or Henchman. It's going to be who's going to be appointed, you know, as the first round for the Supreme Court. Who's going to make up the Senate and the House? Who's going to approve all these treaties? And it's not them, okay? This Constitution, Lysander Spooner thing, man. Hey, you know, if it didn't, cause it, it didn't prevent it. So I'm looking at really the Declaration of Independence, the philosophy of liberty, and maybe some artwork and so on. That's what we're accumulating now. Now, Jeff, our printer, has already done the We Know the Truth in the Arabic thing, got the artwork already for that. So we're building this stuff up, and we're really looking for a place to send it. And I know we'll get it out. You know, I mean, you send to, you know, it's not that hard. I don't give out too many secrets. But, you know, you just send it. You know, how might I send it? What might I put it in? You know, how many, think about it. How many people do we know in the entertainment industry? Okay. How many libertarians, flies on the wall, are there that, deal in commodities, shipping of food, you know, having things that, you know, truck parts. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I want to put a packet in a little, you know, all over, I can just saturate, you know, it will happen. You know, is there a doubt? My thing is I'm wanting to know who's going to help. Who that stands on the sidelines always espousing freedom, espousing libertarianism, espousing the self-ownership of the individual, or certainly at least the awareness that, you know, that concept even exists. And who's doing something? Oh, that's a small list. You know, so we're going to find out. We're going to do this and we'll see what happens. You know, one other thing that's going on today I want Pal to talk about is we've been following, you know, Ron Paul and Bernanke's dance, you know, for a while. You know, what's going on today?
Yeah, Ron Paul, you know, made chairman of the financial something committee that the Federal Reserve reports to. So suddenly, you know, now Ron Paul's in charge and so he should be greeting Bernanke briskly. And instead, today, Bernanke is appearing before a different House committee. I think it's the committee that Ron Paul is a subcommittee of. But I'm just sitting there going, come on. They're trying to say, oh, the Republicans are going to be really tough on Bernanke. And from what I've read lately, at the beginning at least, it's just been a dog and pony show as usual. And so I guess today Ron Paul is also holding his own hearings at the same time. I don't know whether that's in protest or he's just playing around, getting ready. Sooner or later, Bernanke will have to be in front of him. But it really disappointed me the Republican GOP didn't let Paul cook Bernanke right from the beginning. Even if you just need a dog and pony to whip, you know, while hopefully everybody ignores the grotesque fiscal mismanagement that this country's experienced for the last 30 or 40 years.
Well, they got, you know, we got articles up on Freedom Speech right now. It's talking about a poll. Ron Paul has a greater chance of beating Obama than Palin does. Woo! You know, we saw this stuff before in 08. I don't care. This is not a Republican-Democrat thing. This is, we get to stay in charge and spend as much money as we want to and take all your goodies thing. This is what's going on. So now we have Ron Paul is right now having two Austrian economists and one Keynesian making their cases. That's what's going on while Bernanke's out there, blah, blah, blah.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona with Pal Gamble, senior editor of Freedom's Phoenix. You know, one thing Sierra found... Roger Pilon, is that his name?
Pilon. I have no idea.
Yeah, we'll get the pronunciation later. But, you know, we had him in our database. I guess we've had him on before or something. So she sent him an email and let him know what we're doing. Now, the thing is that, let me tell you what my suspicion is. Cato has supplied these books of Declaration of Independence, U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, you know, by the hundreds, if not the thousands. You know, people will buy them or they'll just donate them. There'll be, you know, various different functions we'll go to. And I'll just wind up with cases we've had around here for a long time. I think they're all gone now. I haven't seen them lately.
Yeah.
So we use them quite a bit. They get distributed. Well, they have this one that's done in green. I mean, it's a pocket thing, you know, a little green book or whatever. Islamic. So I'm going, you know, do they have these? Will they print them? Will they sell them? You know, are they starting to print them again? Are they ready to distribute them? Or, as I suspect, Cato kind of has some strings from, you know, on high, you know, they go, hell no. What if the Declaration of Independence got in the hands of the Arabic world? I mean, now, right now, at this time, you know, the justification in Arabic, as clear as that, as Jefferson made it, you know, let me tell you, you know, when you go to the world and you say, this is why we're doing this. You know, these guys are bad. Freedom good, government bad, bad, bad.
I think they listed 83 reasons why they were overthrowing the government, and so many of them are applicable.
Oh, I guarantee they are. You know, I guarantee it. And when, you know, that's a good thing that we'll do. You know, when I have our guests come over, you know, I'll go over them. You know, I'll start going, I go, does this one apply? What about this one? This one, this one, this one, this one, this one. I mean, come on. So this is a worldwide revolution. I don't think it's, I think it's appreciated by a lot of people that just soon it not be. But I'm, what really gets me is there are organizations, there are groups and fundraising and candidates that build an entire persona and an entire organization, you know, like Campaign for Whatever, around this very concept. Now, they may want to focus on United States, you know, I'm hip to that and so on. But, you know, a lot of them are, you know, like, if say you call it something like International Society for Individual Liberty. I mean, you know, things like that, okay? That I'm thinking that, you know, what better opportunity? And we're fighting the same people for the same reasons. Wow. Because what's happening right now, one of the top stories that we have up on Freedom's Phoenix, is that this Friday, it's going to be another big giant around the country. And the, one of the problems that I was pointing out is I go, you know, they always do this Tiananmen Square thing. They got one place. We're all right here. Come get us, you know? And I'm going, no, that's not. You just want to be everywhere all the time, little bit. You know, it's like they don't control, you know, bad guys don't control any place. So you're just kind of there, then you go somewhere else. Well, that's what's happening this week. They're going, they have already started thousands protesting at every, you know, kind of business there is. I mean, the garages that repair the public transportation itself, the people that work at the canal, the people that work in, you know, the electricity utility, the people, thousands of people are going, no, we're not negotiating. You know, Mubarak's got to go. Well, we'll see what happens. The thing that I'm worried about is that they keep talking about, and like CNN, everybody wants to put this into the context of, well, we want our rights. Right what? Right to vote. We get our stuff from these guys that got it. That's what's going on. It's just democracy. You might as well just say socialism, okay? So I'm going, no, this is going down the wrong path. I can see where this is going. It's going to end up with the same people using some other mechanism to get the same thing. They may redistribute a little bit and you get to have a say. It's kind of like the United Kingdom, you know? The opposition always rises up and becomes the big third party, and then they rule for a little bit. You know, it's the same crap. So I'm going, what if you could change them fundamentally? Like what we're doing here in the United States. It's everything. How many minds can we free? To what? That you own yourself. You do that in the land of the pharaohs, in the land of the, you know, build me my pyramid. You know, you do that there, oh, they're not going to like us none too much. The tools are there. Cato has it in Arabic. I want it. I will buy it. Let's do it. Not later. We have ISIL translating it into Arabic, the philosophy of liberty. We have a lot of graphics that are universal. So that's where I'm going on this. And I'm wondering, it's going to be interesting where the resistance comes from. And what I want to talk about for the rest of this hour with Powell is as the economy starts to go, silver's over $30 again, you know, it'll go down, up, whatever. I mean, I don't think it's going to go down 10 anymore. You know, I just don't. So I'm going, here we have the inflation is so rampant in food, these people cannot feed themselves. That's what's doing this. They you know, what are you going to do? Well, we got to go, you know, helicopter Chinook, you know, pallets of wheat. I mean, you know, how much can you do that? So I'm going, all right, what do we think that we can do here? Well, years ago, Pal and I wrote legislation, and it's starting to come to fruition, on Arizona minting our own gold coins. Now, I want to get, you know, Pal's remembrance and his perspective on this and what's going on now, because they're starting to come back to us and ask some questions. Pal, give us what you remember about that.
I remember somehow it came up. We had Centennial, and we were kicking around. Wouldn't it be great if we just dumped the U.S. Fiat currency, and if the states would just start printing their own money? And, of course, when it comes to printing money, we mean gold and silver backed, something backed with something.
Or minting it.
And, yeah, and basically somehow you or I or something, it popped in. We came up with the idea of we had this celebration coming up, so it's a good excuse to print or make medallions out of pure gold, pure silver, and later on pure copper, which, of course, all three metals are mined in Arizona. So that was like, oh, you know, it was kind of a great tie-in. And we had a very friendly, sympathetic senator at the time, Karen Johnson, who knew what we were intending on doing and was very supportive of our doing it.
And, well, in fact, she asked us, what can she do to kind of, you know, what can one legislator do to stop this? Amaro was what she was worried about.
Yeah, it might have been what was the inspiration.
And I go, Amaro, man, they're going the world, though. I mean, we need to be able to get back to metals. Well, how can we do that? And I think who came up with the Centennial idea was her aide, Karen Winfield.
Could be.
And then what happened was you and I started doing some research, and we found Oklahoma had already done something like it. Then we found out that in Arizona in the 60s, to celebrate the centennial for her being a territory, they'd already done copper coin.
And somebody got you an example.
No, I got it on eBay.
Okay.
I might pay $36 for that thing. And I gave it to Karen to show the other legislators, and boom, we were off and running.
Yeah, that's a very powerful symbol when they got something in their hands like, ooh, it's already been done. Well, okay, let's do it.
Well, what then happened is now they're communicating with us, and they made some stupid statement. You and I were kind of communicating through Karen on this with the Secretary of State, is that, gold's really expensive now.
Yeah, and it's like, so? It's like we're not asking you to buy on, fork over the money and buy gold. You can friggin' do this on commission. You can set up right now a system whereby the places that stamp these coins and medallions, I'm sorry, not coins, medallions out.
Medallions.
You have to say medallions because the Constitution actually prohibits states from coining their own money. But they don't prohibit the United States from medallionizing their own.
Yeah, we can medallionize all we want, which is what we're doing. And, you know, what Pal's saying is that they make it to where I can buy them. Hell, I'll buy them. You know, before you even make them, here's money. Go give me some, you know? And because I know they're going to be worth more later anyway.
It's on demand. It's on demand.
On demand. We put it in the legislation. They kept trying to take that out, too. We'll talk about that more when we come back, because this is starting to get done right now.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Stop me now. If you want to have a good time, just give me a call. Stop me now. I'm having a good time. Stop me now.
Well, Eleanor from Cato said how many copies we need, and where is she going to send them? Well, you know, we just might have us some fun. Well, that's nice of Cato. They do that with they'll get in the good category. All right, so we're working on that. Well, yeah, go ahead and have Sierra. You know, I just have her come on. We'll just talk about it on the air. This is it's all part. Hopefully you can understand. Can she come on there and talk about it real quick?
I need to call her again.
Okay, we'll just find out how many she's sending.
I don't know. I'm emailing her right now.
Okay, and how much and whatever, get the whole spiel. You know, free's better than not. But, of course, I'll pay for it. But, the thing is that everything is it's all under the same umbrella. Those that want to be left alone, those won't leave them alone. if you can get this bumper sticker mentality, because if you got to do it more than a bumper sticker, then you're just BSing me, okay? You're just blah, 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 blah. You're just Bernanke-ing me, okay? So I just, you know, it's a inflation bad. can he come in with a bumper sticker or a tattoo on his forehead? You know, so I'm looking forward to doing this to find out what kind of resources we can get directed at this thing. Because if we can go with the idea that people in other countries around the world, and certainly in Arabic-speaking countries, if they can understand the concept, self-ownership, that governments are just stealing from them their wealth by just keep printing money and then indebting them for it. You know, you got it on you, and you're going to be a slave forever. You know, that's one thing I remind her to get John Perkins on again. And John Perkins wrote the book, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and it was an entire generation or two of which he was a part that created these problems that we have right now. It was behind it was this philosophy of empire, and he was one of the front soldiers in this empire. Now, right now, I wanted to talk about this with Pal. We have senior U.S. Marine says multiple platoons are headed to Egypt. In addition to that, we got Army officials suggest U.S. troops might be needed in Mexico. We're going to Mexico. And, you know, let's go ahead and talk about that first. Pal, I mean, does this surprise you?
No. In fact, when I saw the article on the Mexico, where they some senior military guy for the United States saying, "Well, we're needed to fight the drug war in Mexico," it's like, "Oh, swell," and also support the Mexican government, I'm sure. But
yeah, he started calling them insurgents,
and then exactly, it's like, "Oh, they were probably born and lived there," but hey, yeah, they're insurgents. But the other thing I made a quip to you when you brought it up, and I was unaware of the fact that that they were also sending troops to Egypt. I'm like going, because that's exactly my first thought when I saw sending to Mexico. Yeah, and Egypt too. I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, of course they're sending.
Yeah, I'm going, no, they already are. You know, the other thing was is that Hillary was saying, yeah, we can't stop the drug war. There's too much money in it.
I know.
And she actually said
it. And that is still reverberating around. And I haven't heard them come out and say, you know, the typical, oh, well, she was misquoted or she misspoke or she missed. It's like, no, it seems like that's pretty much like, yeah, sorry, there's too much money in it. So, we, you know, illegal drug trade, which, of course, is reputed that Bill Clinton was involved with the Bush family, Bush crime family in Mena, Arkansas, on the cocaine deliveries from Afghanistan.
You know,
and the heroin deliveries.
You know, this is it. It, you know, it never stops. I mean, and when you're around long enough, you've been activists such as us for, you know, I think it only takes about 20 years, you know, like 3-4 election cycles, you know, for president, you know, 12, 16 years. Yeah, it's pretty clear. By 20 years, you're going, I get it. Okay. I get it. Same people saying the same stuff, blah, 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 blah. You know, but here's something that's inspirational. Private moon race team signs rocket deal with SpaceX. Did you know about this?
Nope.
Okay, let me tell you this. This is good. Because Pal and I follow this quite a bit. A privately funded team hoping to win a multi-million dollar race to the moon has figured out how it's going to get most of the way there aboard a commercial rocket that could launch in 2013. The team Astrobotic Technology Incorporated, which aims to take home the Google Lunar X Prize, has signed a contract with private spaceflight firm Space Exploration Technologies, SpaceX for short, which has Falcon 9. Yeah, Falcon 9, which is made to go to Mars. Okay, this is the whole concept that's behind. What's the guy's name? PayPal guy?
Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon Musk. He owned PayPal. He sells out. He makes some money. Guess what? I did this so I could go to the moon and Mars, man. You know, I was just nobody else was going to do it, so I made a bunch of money. Sold out. Going to Mars. To launch its robotic payload to the moon aboard a Falcon 9, Astrobotic officials announced Sunday, February 6th. The mission could launch as soon as December 2013, team officials said. Astrobotic's expedition will search for water and deliver payloads and with the robot narrating its adventure while sending 3D video. This is already going on now. Within a couple of years, private space travel is going to be very commonplace. And there's only one thing and technology that we're waiting on to have a big, giant expansion of, we're going someplace else. Propulsion. That's what this whole thing is about. And there are many new areas of propulsion, including little fusion reactors. Imagine you got the nozzle of a spacecraft. And here where you see my microphone, there are a bunch of lasers hitting what do they call it, deuterium or whatever, hydrogen, okay? So it does, all of a sudden, boom, you got a fusion reactor thrust. That's just one way. Then you got all, they're even talking about warp in space. They're doing, I mean, this, if humans can think of it, it's going to happen. And there are people that are doing it right now. And I have to wonder, all these people that want to control the universe, how are they going to do it once we get off planet? They're going to try. You know, who gets to claim the moon? I just saw last night, it was a news segment on something, or history science. They were talking about they're selling property on the moon.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody's buying it. I mean, you got, you know, they had a bunch of stars, John Travolta and Tom Cruise and Clint Eastwood and, you know, all these other guys. I mean, people, yeah, I bought some property on the moon. Yeah, then what? Somebody goes, you know what? Well, I land my spaceship there. Now what? I give you rent? Yeah, you owe me rent. Well, who's going to enforce it? I tell you how it's going to get enforced. Whoever has the ion cannon, that's how it gets enforced. So this is coming, and I just want to make sure that we open our minds to this, that we are going to have to deal with property issues. It's all about how do you defend and hold and secure and litigate property, even on the moon. Well, if Elon Musk makes it to Mars, are you going to claim the whole thing? Well, tell us about the Falcon Project. You've been covering that. You know, tell me what what you got from coverage of that.
Well, the thing I thought was most impressive about it was that the Falcon 9 has launched twice now, and they've both been successful, and I mean, remarkably successful. I mean, I really hate to say flawless, but just darn close to it, and that's just remarkable on a what amounts to prototype rockets. You know, normally they explode the first few times.
Well, they had single engines that were the Falcon, and it, from the
Falcon 1,
yeah, and they call it from the Falcon from Star Wars. What they call it, the
Millennium Falcon.
That's where Elon Musk got that from.
I did not know that.
I got that out of that book, The Rocketeers, and I go, oh, that's good. Well, he had the single engine to test it. Now some of those failed, you know, but once they got their little fittings done, it took
four shots to get a perfect launch. I mean, they all along the way, and of course the first one was a spectacular failure, but they found out they had a washer on there that was not up to snuff, and so that was all. It was like a 20-cent washer or something that they needed something that was tougher, and
a $2 washer.
You know, it's amazing that they figured this out, and then they put it out, and then the next ones, even though they were not completely successful, the next launches were quite successful. But it's still amazing to scale up from that one engine one to a 9-engine beast like the Falcon 9 is. And to have two flawless launches, just amazing.
Well, they also have a capsule, the Dragon.
Yep. And they've been test dropping that, and they should be doing some test launches with it. And actually, they're supposed to be going to the space station to resupply them, because the capsule looks like it's so good and the rocket's so good. It's like, heck, let's just friggin' go there and use that as our test.
And NASA needs the help.
Yes, they do.
And I'm going, yeah, they're saying they can go to the what do they call it? SSI?
ISS.
ISS. International Space Station. Okay. So they go, well, they can go to the International Space Station. I'm going, why the heck would they want to go there? You know, what's there?
Because they're going to get paid.
Yeah, you know, Bigelow Aerospace already has big, giant, much larger space stations in orbit now. And now they're talking about doing the rec room for the space station.
Yep.
You know, so I'm going, you know, and they tell you about this win.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.